Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, I am so mad that I missed the big event. If I had only looked toward the west, I don't know what I was doing.
Northwest.
About. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, northwest.
Northwest sky.
I don't know what I was doing.
I saw that when the sky was still had some blue in it.
Yeah.
And that was when it was really spectacular.
So what we're talking about is a launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base, and I'm guessing as the crow flies 400 and maybe 75
something like that.
Miles
they're close
from
to the
Tucson.
Coast, yeah.
So this was a SpaceX operation.
Falcon 9.
Falcon 9.
That took about 52 of Elon Musk's Starlink satellites to place them into orbit.
Delivering a bunch of satellites. But it was cool. Everybody, it seems like, but me had seen it because all of my Facebook friends were posting. Laura Conover is with us, Pima County attorney, and she didn't see it either.
I missed it too.
You missed the big show.
Well, I had to be in Phoenix for a big event last night. So I apparently missed it too.
Yeah.
So they they saw it too. It was just about anywhere in the western half of the state saw it.
But it kind of lingered, right? And it was going, that would be north-south direction then?
It was going in a southerly direction.
Southerly direction.
And it looked like, when I first saw it, I said, what in the world is that? It had such a mystifying look, so like it's something out of a sci-fi movie.
You know, I'm in the news business, and there had not been a lot of publicity about that this was going on, so I didn't hear about it.
You mentioned something, and it is interesting, that after it finished traipsing across the sky, it left some kind of a contrail, but I guess it was so high up that it lingered a lot longer in the atmosphere than normal.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, hello everybody, it's Buckmaster, the final Friday of October. Here we go, it is the 28th of October, 2022. Buckmaster on KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We're in our 12th year, concluding the 12th year at the end of this year, and then we'll launch into Lucky 13 in January. That will put us with 35 years, Laura Conover, on TV and radio in Tucson, and it pushes my kind of grand total in the biz to 55 years. Wow.
Bill, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, so by far now the bulk of my career right here in Tucson, Arizona. It's buckmastershow.com for all of our podcasts. You can also hear the program live through the website. The Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. When we have any of our telephone calls, they support our Live Line. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, we go one-on-one with Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. Laura, good to see you. Welcome back to the show. It's been at least 6 months.
6 months.
I can't believe it. Look at everything that's happened. My goodness.
It's been busy. It's lovely to be here, Bill.
Yeah, and you're now halfway through your four-year term because you were elected 2 years ago this November. Yeah.
Right.
So what a 2 years it's been. What a ride.
Yes.
If you had to kind of characterize it, how would you?
Well, we landed last January, which is the height of COVID. And pre-vaccine. So you can imagine coming into that building, being a brand new administrator, being the first new administrator to come outside the agency in over 40 years, at the height of a pandemic and pre-vaccine. And to be honest, I think we were really forged in fire. I think it forced our team to become experts at crisis management. How to set aside distraction and how to handle crisis management and how to gather the team quickly and come up with the best strategy and have options to look at a crisis and think of it more as a challenge. And what would we present back? Every time I'm speaking with you, Bill, with the media, with the Board of Supervisors, with Mayor and Council, or with the community in general, what I want to do is I want to hear their concern. I want to listen to it, and then I always want to have some solutions ready to look forward to. So the first was the pandemic. The next was the homicide spike that started the same month as the pandemic, the domestic violence spike, the domestic violence fueled homicide spike.
Your personnel issues at
right.
the office.
Absolutely.
That was right there at the beginning.
Yeah, letting the former administration make a their graceful retirement and starting afresh and recruiting and retention.
Because you had some carryover from that 40-year reign, and I say 40 years because it was Steve Neely,
right,
and then Barbara LaWall. So you had people that were very closely aligned
right.
to that culture,
right,
and some stayed with you initially, but not happy, and then they moved on. So there's been that whole personnel thing going on.
Right, absolutely. We didn't fire a single prosecutor. Many new DAs coming in say
clean house.
Right. They said they let go of the old guard in order to bring in change. And I really wanted an observation period. I really wanted to see how we could retain the best of what was there and still move forward. And I look back and I think that might have been a mistake. There were people that were never going to come along, but they self-selected out and left. At the same time, though, Bill, the other side of that coin happened, which is that there are people who've been in there 15, 20, almost 30 years mm-hmm. who have absolutely spread their wings. They were overlooked and are now flying, and they have so much institutional wisdom that they bring to the table as well.
So you're saying it can go both ways.
That's right. Oh, and, that's absolutely
right.
You
don't usually, folks don't think about those people that may have felt undervalued in a certain administration. They stay on, there's a new administration, and suddenly they're getting a fresh start.
Absolutely. That's perfectly said. That's perfectly said. And and then here was another challenge we faced in this first 20 months, recognizing that the agency had not had an agency-wide pay raise since 1997, and so pushing really hard for that so that we could lift up our salaries and start competing a little bit, start recruiting a little bit. It's probably still not where it needs to be, but it was a significant lift, not only for our office, but we took the whole criminal justice system with us. All of our partners, and so we are looking at January as the 2-year mark, and we're really starting to roll forward in a very steady and confident way. It's beautiful.
So you talked about the homicide spike, the domestic violence spike that was more than likely, I don't know if we can prove it, but tied to people kind of being at home during the pandemic. It's got to be probably one of the major causes, right?
There's no doubt that what we saw was a scenario where people were trapped at home. There were fewer outlets. There were fewer escape valves. Victims go to work every day and try to carry on, and that means there's an opportunity for people to lay eyes on them and check on them and offer support and services, and all of that disappeared in COVID. It was such an isolating time, as we all remember, and so I think that heavily has influenced domestic violence. As far as homicide goes, I dare say, I continue to say that we are suffering as a nation and a culture, and trying to come out of the dark times of such isolation. And what we continue to see is just this trigger thin level of emotion and anger to where you're at zero and you can be at 60 in the next minute, and a society that is absolutely awash in firearms. The firearm issue is very real, and mental health persists, and we find ourselves in truly difficult and uncomfortable times, which is why I'm so honored to work with civil servants who want to come to work every day and continue to tackle that under the most difficult times. They continue to respond to crime scenes. They continue to offer trauma support in the victim services division. They continue to pile on homicide after homicide and go after them as hard as ever to keep our community as safe as possible during the most difficult times.
That horrible situation with the killing of the hydrology professor at the University of Arizona, there's been a lot of a blowback, if you will. There's been a lot of a dust up saying, well, why didn't Pima County Attorney Laura Conover, why didn't she do something when the University of Arizona police had brought two proposed misdemeanor complaints about this suspect to your attention?
I want to tackle this head on. And the first thing I have to say is that we have to sort of divorce the two different questions at hand. The number one priority right now that I need the U of A focused on and the community focused on and our office to focus on is the understanding that we have a first degree homicide we're now prosecuting. And the integrity of that case should be first and foremost. When the university decides to put out a memo without our feedback, you worry about the integrity of what should be the priority at hand. What you'll hear me do right now is not say a word about the facts of that first degree homicide, because that's an open criminal case, and we don't comment on the facts of pending investigations. What I have been asked about, or what was suggested by the university, was that an older misdemeanor threats case was sent to our office with different victims, right? Completely different case. That file is closed. Two files are closed. And to the extent that we can talk about a closed file, let me be very, very clear. When a department sends a few pieces of paper in the mail, which is called a long form complaint, to the misdemeanor unit, that's handled among thousands of cases. And it was handled very, very carefully and closely because the information was alarming. But the evidence wasn't even close in hindsight to prosecuting a threats misdemeanor. To prosecute a threats misdemeanor, you have to have a specific threat. It has to be very specific. It has to be immediate, imminent harm, and it has to describe the manner in which to carry it out. So when you have a threat with intellect behind it, right, where it's vague and it's not immediate and there's no, we don't ever prosecute those.
I think a lot of people don't understand that this has to be really, the threat has to be very specific and spelled out.
Absolutely, because of First Amendment and the protections and the country we live in. We don't live in a police state. We don't live in Iran or North Korea where you can make a vague statement and then get swept off of the street by, cloaked, masked men. We don't live in that community. And so, and frankly, I think I'm the Pima County attorney, quite frankly, because the community wants to make sure that we prosecute cases with sufficient evidence, not when we just feel bad or feel angry or feel frustrated and force the case through anyway. Now, Bill, what I always want to do is I want to take this frustration and I want to take the human nature of looking for anyone to blame that could have changed this outcome when we know it's not even remotely possible that even if there had been significant evidence that a misdemeanor threats case could have changed what happened on campus. We have to look at constructive solutions and policies, which is why we need to focus attention on becoming a red flag state in Arizona, where we do have tools to take away firearms when the red flags are there.
How many red flag states do you think there are? Do you have any idea?
I believe it's a little over half of the nation
I was just curious.
And there's a reason for that, Bill, because both sides can get behind a red flag law. There's proper notice. There's an opportunity to be heard. You can't abuse the process because the person can come right into court and demonstrate that this is nothing but a harassment and they need to retain their Second Amendment rights to possess a firearm. It's well written. It's well constructed. And there's no reason why we can't build momentum for a red flag law in Arizona.
Do you like the fact the University of Arizona is going ahead with a kind of a major overhaul, looking at their whole security on campus? Think that's a good idea?
Oh, absolutely. I lament the times that we're in, but the university will be well placed to take it seriously. Had we been called to the table, Bill, our victim services division does safety planning. When you have a specific person making threats, we do safety planning. We do it all the time. We're doing it now on other cases, and so we have to learn from tragedies, and we have to start putting our feet forward. And collaboratively, right? Let's not throw blame around. Let's work collaboratively towards a healthier and safer community.
All right. We're going to pause right here with Laura Conover. Laura, you know what I want to talk about right now.
Mona's.
Mona's Danish Bakery, a place you love.
Absolutely.
You love going up to Mona's. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their breakfast have become a real signature now in our community, a gourmet signature. They open at 6:30, and that breakfast begins serving 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. They start at Sunday at 7 in the morning. Steve and the team are now taking Monday off, a well-deserved day off, because I'll tell you, their weekends have been very busy. And why not? People love Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website will tempt you when you see all those great photographs of now everything on the menu, monasdanishbakery.com. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. We're going one-on-one with Laura Conover, Pima County attorney. We will be right back with Laura.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Friday afternoon. Laura Conover is here, Pima County Attorney. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We had the sheriff, Sheriff Nanos, with us last week. He was talking about the death of an inmate, 37-year-old Wade Welch, and you had put on a news release, Laura Conover, saying this was of a significant concern to the community, and the sheriff kind of took issue with that last Friday on the show. Any comment?
I have spoken back and forth with the sheriff about it, and I understand the spot that he's in. It's very uncomfortable. When you look closely at the statement I made, I was acknowledging community concern and saying that I can hear it, and that I'm in receipt of it. I'm not ignoring it. And then I followed really the same model I had used previously in the Ryan Remington, Richard Lee Richards model of letting the community know without discussing a single fact. Right, because I don't comment on pending investigations or cases. I don't comment on the facts, but I have to tell the community that I hear the concern, and that we are doing our job. We're doing the work, and
The community is. It's very safe to say our community is concerned about deaths in the jail.
Exactly, correct, and they need their county attorney to be accessible and to say, I hear you, and I want you to know we're working hard at our job to get to a just result, whatever that will be. And it's just not easy. It's uncomfortable for the various departments to be in this place. Again, we don't have a local culture ready for these kinds of cases. The last time an officer went to trial in Pima County, charged with killing a community member stemmed from events in 1989. So we just don't have a culture ready to deal with this the way every other city naturally does. And that's the difficult work of the day. I don't ask for these cases to come to me. They happen and they come to me, and then I take them extremely seriously, as we've demonstrated, and the sheriff is right. We won't be commenting on the facts of the case. It'll play out as it needs to, if it needs to, in court.
How about this regional team now that the sheriff has been kind of instrumental in getting off the ground? Let's see, it's known as the PRCIT.
Right, the Pima Regional Critical Incident Review Team.
Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a mouthful. It's a mouthful, but and I've been with the sheriff out in the community a number of times, explaining to the community that this is the result of a promise made and a promise seen through. The community asked for a police department to not investigate their own when an officer-involved critical incident happens, and to have another regional agency take the lead on the investigation, and
the community seems to make sense.
Oh, it's absolutely it's best practice. It's wonderful. The sheriff got, frankly, I think the sheriff got it off the ground very quickly as a brand new sheriff, again coming in during COVID, and my statement ironically highlighted that and explained to the community, you need to know. This is an excellent, this is a solid development towards the transparency and the accountability that the community is looking for.
Then we have another case that you have been criticized about. Now, this was a threat by, I'll say alleged threat, I don't know all the facts with this, by a teacher in the TUSD district, a threat against a state lawmaker, Wendy Rogers.
Well, this is fascinating for two reasons. One, because we're going to talk again about how do you prosecute a threat case. So earlier in this broadcast, we talked about when a threat is vague and it's not immediate and it doesn't talk about any method of carrying it out. That's not prosecutable. We want people seeking help when it happens. We want to be at the table with safety planning in our victim services division. We want law enforcement taking action. We want people seeking injunctions against harassment, or what we call restraining orders. We want to develop a red flag law, but we can't prosecute vague speech criminally. So, Bill, what you've just asked me about is, when can you prosecute a threat? Because you can. The public record will show that we take threats against anyone under whatever job they have, whatever party they are under. If you threaten harm specifically with immediacy and with a method of carrying it out, we will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. And the public record shows we are doing that right now in a case where the listed victim is Mark Fincham, who's running for Secretary of State. The case you're asking me about, the victim is Senator Wendy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
We took that, we received that investigation. We took it very seriously. The public record shows a very severe threat, very specific, very immediate, with a specific manner of carrying it out, all of which occurred in Navajo County. We don't prosecute cases that occur in Navajo County.
So it happened up in the White Mountains.
Yeah, it should have been obvious to everyone. I think it's strange that anyone got confused that a threat that occurred in Navajo County about an event that occurred in Navajo County and all of the players were in Navajo County at the time. We carried that case. We worked with DPS, took it up to Navajo County where they indicted it, and they'll take it from there. And so, you know, misinformation and disinformation should bother us all on any side of the aisle. I regret people just not even checking the facts with us and just wildly reporting misinformation and disinformation. It's unfortunate that it continues to persist. We have to tune it out.
So this was about jurisdiction in so many regards. The basics. Where did it happen?
Right, exactly.
It did not happen in the jurisdiction right. of the Pima County Attorney's Office.
Yeah, I literally have no power over a case that you know, over an event that occurred in Navajo County. It would have been a losing case from step one. But nonetheless, it concerned us deeply. And we received the packet because the accused had a listed address in Tucson.
Yeah, the accused apparently it works in the TUSD school district.
Right, apparently.
Yeah.
So we made sure to be a good partner to Navajo County and personally hand it off.
Let's talk about something that you spent a ton of time on and you were very, very involved with, and the confusion over whether or not abortion is legal at this point in Arizona. There is so much confusion still around this. And Tucson became really the epicenter for a couple of weeks ago on this whole question.
Right, right. It's extraordinary. I can break it down for our listeners.
Yes.
Right, because it's complex. No one should feel dumbfounded about why it's so confusing. So here's
like
what,
why were you even involved?
Exactly.
Again, getting back to jurisdiction.
Exactly.
Why was Pima County involved with this abortion statute that went back to when, you know?
Right.
100 years or...
And sometimes I ask myself, you know, what isn't going to come for me, right? Every day. Every day the hardest questions and the hardest work will come right to my desk for some reason. And the reason this happened is because in 1973, five physicians with what was then called Planned Parenthood of Tucson went to the Pima County Superior Court and said, we need an injunction. That is, we need protection for carrying out medical services because there's this case called Roe versus Wade. And we think that if it succeeds at the Supreme Court, our reproductive care will be legal. And so, Judge, we want you to protect us against criminal prosecution. And at that time...
Like a preemptive thing.
Exactly. Like, protect us now and wait and see how Roe versus Wade turns out, because we will all regret, you know, criminalizing us and jailing us and taking away our licenses if our conduct is actually lawful and constitutional. And so therefore, the Pima County Attorney's Office joined the Attorney General and fought against it, and with the stance that they wanted to continue to criminally prosecute reproductive health care. So fast forward 50 years later, and Roe versus Wade falls at the Supreme Court, and lo and behold, that protection is still functioning statewide in Arizona. So the Attorney General, the current Attorney General now in 2022, decided to come into Superior Court in Pima County to try to get that injunction lifted so that criminal prosecutions could resume. And I found myself as a listed party right there in the crosshairs. We consulted, we did a ton of research. We found Planned Parenthood's arguments that 50 years of law had occurred, that the world was different, and that it wasn't as simple as lifting the injunction. And so we switched sides, and we joined Planned Parenthood in trying to keep the injunction in place.
Mm-hmm. And what happened? What was the final?
Well, this is important. This is an important development. We lost at the trial level. The judge agreed with the Attorney General and said it just seemed like the injunction should be lifted. We appealed that and asked for an emergency order keeping the injunction in place to the Court of Appeals. And the Court of Appeals ruled in our favor and kept the injunction in place. Reproductive health care immediately resumed statewide, saying that they think the trial court got it wrong and that we actually have a likelihood of success of having the various conflicting statutes harmonized, since everything's on the books and it's the legislature's say.
It's really fascinating, isn't it, when you think about every state now seems to have some kind of a different statute when it comes to women's reproductive rights.
Right, absolutely. And what's fascinating is that the Attorney General's argument was to go back to the 1864 near total ban, you know, the territorial Arizona ban on reproductive health care. And while our current legislature had just weeks ago weighed in and said, no, it should be lawful up until 15 weeks, and they didn't put a trigger in there. They didn't say we want this to die if Roe versus Wade falls,
right.
they didn't put that trigger in there mm-hmm. like other legislatures have. And so we must deal with all the laws on the books and harmonize them.
All right. We'll have more with Laura Conover taking a break on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Pima County Attorney Laura Conover, Bill Buckmaster, back with you in a minute.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Laura Conover sticks around for a third segment with us on the Buckmaster Show. What was this fresh start that you were involved with this? I think it was last weekend, Laura Conover.
It was last Saturday, and I now call it my favorite day of the year. It's true. And I'll tell you why, because I really think Fresh Start has become the year's most critical public safety event locally. What it is a one-stop shop that Dr. DeMond Holt has created nearly single-handedly. And it's a one-stop shop in the TCC. It's an expo. And what you can picture is a targeting of the audience that's returning to the community from jail or prison. And there couldn't be a more critical public safety component there, because if people can get on their feet and get employed or better employed and supporting their families, keeping families together, this is how we are healthier and safer. This is how you actually cut into the crime rate. So the entire So you've got an entire arena of service providers. Everyone is there. Access, DMV, behavioral health, housing, a job fair, right? Then you move into an entirely second arena where we have set up an informal, comfortable courthouse. Over 200 people had individual consultations on their criminal case, on their criminal background, trying to reenter society. They had a consultation with a qualified defense attorney. Then they moved over into my shop, where I had six prosecutors with me, the people's attorneys, and they were looking at setting aside convictions, expunging convictions, restoring all civil rights, working on fines and fees, transferring it to community service, and then judges from every single courthouse in the entire county were there, every level, every jurisdiction, to literally sign right there. So people were walking out restored.
And these are people that have had marijuana convictions?
Some of them. It is a lot of misdemeanors. We were prepared to deal with felonies. It's a lot of misdemeanors, but you would be surprised, Bill, how that just hangs over you. It prevents employment or good employment. It interferes with housing. It interferes with education. It interferes with everything. And when we can set that aside, when we can expunge it, people start contributing, which is exactly what we all want in public safety. And we were all there. The chief of police gave beautiful remarks, encouraging people and thanking them for putting that brave step forward and for being there and taking responsibility and trying to get back into society.
Are you saying that these were expunged right there?
Right there. Right.
Judges were there to do that.
100% in just their regular clothes, right? So that people felt comfortable. City court, justice court, superior court, Green Valley, city court. Every jurisdiction was there, so that people literally walked out with a signature in hand. And you could, Bill, you could see people coming in lined up before we even started at 9 a.m., but still with a lot of trepidation, right? Nervous, uncomfortable, and then walking out with just smiles on their faces because they've taken that weight off their shoulders.
What period of time are we talking about? Some of these go back a few years.
Oh, they do. When we first started expunging marijuana convictions, we had paperwork, people coming in with paperwork from the 1970s and 80s.
Whoa.
Who had been living with that, you know, that joint of marijuana in their pocket that has been messing them up for 40, 50 years. It's extraordinary when we think about moving out of the war on drugs and moving into smart criminal justice reform. And it goes both ways, Bill. I'll throw in one more thing. We're wrapping up Domestic Violence Awareness Month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here we have over 200 people coming in to do the right thing and to be brave and to quash their cases and to take responsibility. At the same time, my office is currently participating in a warrant roundup, where they're looking for people with open domestic violence cases who are not taking responsibility, not coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making sure that we are in the community for both accountability and for making sure people have a way to move forward into a healthier, safer community.
How about Fresh Start 2 or Fresh Start Again?
Oh, yes. So this was number 2.
Fresh Start 3.
Right. I think DeMont Holt Dr. DeMont Holt is wary.
Is he the one that kind of spearheaded this?
100%. He founded it, and now Phoenix is asking him to come, Atlanta's asking him to come, and everyone there, of course, is saying, can we do it 2 times a year? Can we do it 3 times a year?
Yeah.
But it's quite the effort to pull off. We'll invite you next year so you can see it for yourself.
Yeah, and it was at the convention center.
It was at the convention center, and where we handed out our 10,000th gun lock.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, also, when we're talking about public safety, we handed out our 10,000th gun lock in just this quarter alone.
Wow.
Right.
All right. A lot on your plate. Appreciate you spending almost the full hour with us today, because there is so much that we wanted to cover with you. What's your main priority right now, would you say? What's at the top of your agenda?
Well, doing the work. I think doing the work. I think what the office is really finding when I say it's beautiful inside the building is that we're not distracted anymore by those looking to pull us down. We're moving forward solidly and doing the work and producing the results and the data and the numbers, and that's my number one priority.
And
is to stay.
You like the job.
It is a labor of love.
Okay.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
Yeah.
I love the people.
Yeah.
The job, if you're doing the job right, you're doing it 65 hours a week or more, and it'll kill you if you're doing it right. So I'm trying to find the balance.
Okay. You want to do it again? In 2 years, would you like to run again?
I think the data will decide. If it's working, and if we're getting safer and healthier, and if that's what the community wants, the community will decide. And I'll just keep my head down and try to stick with it.
Okay, Laura Conover, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Take a break right here, a weekend watch. What's going on? It's a big weekend, all sorts of activities, including homecoming. We'll be right back with Matt Russell.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
And I am ready for the weekend. That music signals Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Are you ready for your weekend getaway over to Silver City? Only about a three-hour drive. And once you get there, it is the perfect time of year in the land of enchantment. Some autumn color, cool temperatures, like 59 degrees. Can't beat that at midday. That's good hiking weather, everybody. Southwest New Mexico is the website. Spell it out, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find everything you need to know about your upcoming visit to Silver City. Everything you need to know about the weekend is with Matt Russell on Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, and away we go. Hello, Matt.
Hey. You know, I'm sitting here trying to squeeze into last year's Casper the Friendly Ghost costume. Suffice it to say that it's no longer friendly. It's a little scary this year, Bill.
And I know, because, you know, every year we go through this, and as long as you've been doing the food and beverage thing, every year the Halloween costume is too tight.
Darn it, how that happens, Bill.
Then you go and get another one, and a year later we're talking about how tight it is. So anyway,
we're gonna need a bigger sheet, let's just say that.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go howl at the moon.
Absolutely. Halloween weekend is here, you know, and the ghosts and goblins are gonna start coming out tonight. 6 o'clock at the Tucson Museum of Art. It's Howl at the Museum. So you can participate in a costume contest. You can enjoy live music. There's going to be art activities, a cocktail competition judged by those who go with Tucson's top bartenders. There's also going to be food provided by several Tucson restaurants. There's going to be whiskey Del Box spirits, wine from Sand Reckoner Vineyards. Admission is only $40. So I say start your scary weekend tonight at the Tucson Museum of Art and bring your best howl.
What is this about Delta Ween?
Yeah, there's more scary stuff happening tomorrow night at the Delta downtown on South 6th Avenue. It's Delta Ween, and they tell me they're just dying to see you, Bill. So get ready for some fiendish food, ghoulish stew, blood-curdling spirits, the devil's brew. There's going to be live entertainment as well, but the best part, no cover charge to get in, so just be sure you're in costume, and they're going to let you in if you dare. Delta Ween is tomorrow night at what promises to be a rather creepy culinarian cocktail experience.
I'll tell you, the buzz this week in the culinary scene is this Cuban kitchen and rum bar.
Yeah, you know, this one is not scary at all, Bill. And I have to say, it's one of the most highly anticipated restaurant openings I've ever been a part of. It's the big opening day Sunday at Moho Cuban Kitchen and Rum Bar on Grant, just a quick tango east of Campbell. They're going to transport you from Midtown Tucson to the heart of Havana with a menu of truly authentic Cuban dishes, some signature Cuban-inspired cocktails that I think would bring a smile to Hemingway himself. They've got this indoor-outdoor patio bar that's perfect place to enjoy some premium rum flights, a Cuban coffee, some pastries. So head on over to Havana, Tucson style, when Moho Cuban Kitchen opens on Sunday.
What's your latest offering in the Tucson foodie?
Yeah, well, I sat down with Tucson's own hot sauce sommelier. So he's the man who curated one of the biggest retail collections of hot sauces in the state with more than 300 selections. So find out who he is, where you can find his collection, and how you can get your hands on the hottest of the hot. It's all at TucsonFoodie.com.
Have a great and safe Halloween. Thanks, Matt.
Right back at you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, making sure all the podcasts are up in a timely fashion. Tom Fairbanks, thanks, Tom. Everybody here at Bustos Media saying, have a safe and lovely Halloween weekend.